Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. He's been around in office since 2009, and before that, long time in the New York State Legislature, one of the most admired men in contemporary politics. Paul, there's a rumor going around that you're going to quit. You're not going to run another time. Tell me that ain't so.
It ain't so because, look, right now, when people say, you must regret having run for Congress, I said, no, now is the time to be there. Now is the time over the next few years where we're at a major juncture, and I disagree greatly with the number of things that are being advanced, including the tax cut proposal that we'll probably talk about, if not on this show, some show in the near future. No, I think the purpose right now behind being there as a voice that will speak for the needs of the Capital Region and New York State at large, it's an important role, and I love this job, and I love interacting with people. I don't believe I've showed any signs of slowing down.
No, on the contrary, everybody says you're the hardest working person they've ever seen.
So now
I want to ask you this. What kind of miscreant could start a rumor like that?
Well, you know, this business always has a lot of people looking to take the next step.
Yeah, and somebody wants to stand on your shoulders.
You know, and it's somewhat of a pyramid shape, you know. It gets fewer and fewer as you determine to ascend that ladder. And so people are always looking at some posts that might be appealing to them. But, you know, I've invested my time over these 4.5 terms to date. I'm in my fifth term, in the middle of the fifth term, getting on to what I think are appropriate committees for this district. Energy and commerce is a hand-in-glove fit for an area that is seen as one of the most involved in an innovation economy in the country. One of the five hottest bits of geography, as I would say many times, and two of the most exponentially rising areas in high-tech green-collar jobs. So I'm in a committee table that I think is very relevant to this district, as is the Science, Space, and Technology Committee that I serve on. So, you know, not only have I invested time in this effort, enjoy what I'm doing, want to be that voice of reason for this area, many times a counter voice to what's being recommended or advanced in Washington. And it just seems like those dynamics are strong, and I want to keep them strong.
I saw some reference in, columnist of the Albany Times Union, that Mayor Kathy Sheehan of Albany might want to run for Congress. That's your seat. So, have you spoken to her about that? I mean, smoke?
I think Kathy, you know, just having come off a reelection campaign and a hard-fought one, is anxiously looking to getting back and doing some of the things. I think you need to set your policy goals up in that first term and then begin implementing, and I would think that's where she's at. Yeah. And, you know, we've worked together on certain things, and I was very much part of the support network for her re-election.
Yeah, you really supported her.
So,
goes unpunished.
That's not what I'm saying. I think implementing some of those policy goals is probably going to keep her very happy in that role as mayor.
Okay. So now I want to know about the tax plan, obviously. It is so clear to me that this is a phony Maloney, if there ever was one. It was supposed to make things better. Now, if you look at it, it really makes things worse for the middle class, doesn't it?
Absolutely does. I think that this is a betrayal of the middle class, this bill. And it is basically about giving millionaires and billionaires tax relief along with corporations at a time when we should have started at the middle and worked our way out. And it should be done, my firm belief, it should be done in context of revenue neutral. Close loopholes, discard cuts or tax incentives, credits that are no longer useful or meaningful.
Can you give us an example of one of those?
Well, some of the tax relief we offer oil industry. You know, fossil-based fuels that are not in our best interest at a time when we're fighting climate change or should be fighting climate change. So I think that whole effort should have driven the process. Instead, you had Mitch McConnell, Senator McConnell, as leader of the United States Senate, saying we're going to do tax reform without any Democrats. It's going to be all Republican votes. That alone, I think, is a message that doesn't set well with Republicans and Democrats at home. People want to see us working together for the right goals. Second of all, this is not a tax reform package. It's a tax cut for the wealthy, for millionaires, billionaires, and corporations, at the expense of the middle class and those looking to ascend the middle class and small business. So don't call this a once-in-a-lifetime moment, as the president and Speaker Ryan have. Don't call this tax reform, because it's a tax cut for the most comfortable. And we should have done better than this. It should have been revenue neutral. Instead, the party that is always speaking with concern about the deficit is willing here in their walk away from the middle class to explode the deficit by over $2 trillion. They have to stay within that spending level of $1.5 trillion outside of cuts they're making to make this happen. And that, with the cost of borrowing, equals about 2.2 or 2.3 trillion. So who do we make happy? Millionaires, billionaires, corporations, and those on Wall Street who are going to love to do that borrowing. It's a tragedy. It's one of betrayal, again, of the middle class, and it's a very hurtful outcome because it's another step along the way of the Republican majority looking to, you know, increase the taxes on middle-class America, reduce the number of people on, rip healthcare away, better said, from millions of people, according to people who score this bill, the various think tanks, probably 13 million people will have healthcare ripped away from them, and they're going to explode the deficit, all because they need to borrow trillions of dollars to make this work.
That's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing. So does it pass?
Well, you know, I watched the efforts in the House, and it was a close vote. And they were adding certain things to make certain that they could buy in some more votes. In the Senate, it's not the same as. So if it passes, it would be narrowly so. My sense is that that's still not a guarantee. I don't know enough of the thinking of the individual U.S. senators, so it's hard to place odds on it, but it may be 50-50 or weaker in terms of passing. If it passes, it's going to be by the narrowest of margins. If it does pass, then we've got the effort before us of reconciling those two bills into a consensus. And I hope that is done through conferencing, where there's plenty of light shed upon those negotiating sessions, and not done behind closed doors. Speaker Ryan made it his goal of his tenure to make certain that it was all regular order. Send bills to committee, in this case, send the tax cut measures to the appropriate committees, have them reviewed publicly, and shed light. That has been broken in the House version, and probably broken in the Senate version, and we'll see what happens if there's a reconciliation required.
Always love talking to my friend, Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York, who has put an absolute end to the rumor that he might step aside this time in favor of Mayor Kathy Sheehan in Albany. Thank you for doing that, Paul. We always love to have a way of putting a rest to malicious rumors. Thank you.
It's good to join you.